This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We started with a text in Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1, that says, "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." Last week, we talked about the fact that our tendency is to forget and that God encourages His people not to forget. He told them not to forget in the good times. He said, "When you've eaten and are full, bless the Lord." That's a good time to give thanks to God. He also told them to build memorials and that they would build physical memorials out of stones. And these stones were to signify events that God had done, things that had happened. So they had an opportunity to go, "Oh, this is what, why are these stones there, Daddy?" And the daddy would say, "Well, this is because God dried up the Jordan River, or God did this, or this is a revelation they had." But they were always building memorials. And so last week we talked about some memorials that we can build. We said that communion is a memorial. And last week I said that we're going to serve communion. So it's the last Tuesday of the month, Wednesday. It's Wednesday. I'm Alan, this is the Ark, it's Wednesday, okay. On the last Wednesday of the month, we're going to serve communion here on a Wednesday night. And especially for those of you who don't have a chance to attend on Sunday. So we're going to do it on the last one. But communion is a memorial, it's a reminder. When we break the bread, we remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. When we drink the little juice, we remember that His blood was shed for our cleansing. And every time we do that, we show His death until He comes. It's a memorial, it's a reminder. And then we also talked about the fact that Thanksgiving is a reminder. That Thanksgiving is a way that we can continually just keep before God things God has done. As you're thankful. If you're not careful, have you ever noticed you can go days without being thankful? And that's so easy. I've done it. And sometimes I have to catch myself and go, I've just gone a long time. I haven't stopped and said, "Lord, thank you." It's so easy. Maybe not for you, but I know for me, it's so easy for me to go to the next project. The next thing I'm going after, the next thing next challenge, the next thing we have to believe for. And that's okay. That's good. We have to be forward-minded, but it's also good to remember all the good things God has done. So Thanksgiving is a great way to remember what God has done. Now, tonight I want to talk about a couple of other modern-day memorials to help us remember. First thing is writing things down. The second one's going to be akin to it. It's writing things down. Exodus, the 17th chapter, verse 14. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek under heaven.'" And so, Amalek. How do you pronounce that word? Is it Amalek? Okay. Sometimes I've made up words. Just want to make sure I didn't do that again. Some of these words are just hard to pronounce anyway. But the idea was, God's instructions after a victory were write it down. Why? Because we have a tendency to forget. And this is one way we can go. And so I'm going to talk about this just for a little bit. I keep a journal. I don't keep a diary. I never write "Dear Diary." But I do keep a journal. And I keep a couple. I'm going to talk to you about journaling tonight. But also, I keep a journal where I will write down things that God has done. Why? Because you want to recount it. And sometimes I just pick it up and start reading. And if you've ever done that, you'll find things. You go, "Oh, I remember that. I remember God did that." I was thinking many of you walked with us, have walked with us through my daughter's horrendous situation with the birth of my grandson, Grant. And I was just thinking the other day, well, we're out of the woods with Grant. He's doing well. And, you know, Christina's sending us pictures. He's doing good. She's doing good. If you're not careful, you can remember, you can forget all that God brought you through. So in my journal, I wrote down, "God delivered us from a horrible situation." And why? Because I want to go back and remember that. and go back and so in reading these things, they go back. And so one of the values is, because we tend to forget, if you'll write down where God has answered prayers for you. And then you can go back and read it sometimes and you're like, oh, that's right, He did do that. Yes, He did do that. Oh, God did do that. All it does is build you up and helps keep it in your memory, and it's helpful. Now, tonight I want to talk about a type of journaling, because people say, I don't know how to journal. I really have no idea. So can I just give you really just a real practical application of how to journal? And it's an acronym SOAP, S-O-A-P, SOAP. And then I'm going to give you an example of it. But basically, SOAP stands for, S stands for Scripture. Or maybe you're reading in Project 345 or in your Bible reading time, and you have ever had just a scripture that just kind of stood out to you? And you read the scripture and you're like, So you write that scripture down. And then O stands for observation. So you write down your observation about the scripture. Now listen, guys. If you're a blogger and you want to blog, great. But my journal is for me. And it's very personal. In fact, I didn't even bring it tonight, lest I forget it and somebody grab it, because it's personal. And it's got some of my times where I have had challenges with things, and I'm writing that down. Y'all don't need to hear that. My family knows all about it, but y'all don't need to hear it. And so it's a personal thing. But the observation is, I'm going to write an observation. It is your observation about the scripture. It doesn't have to be a sermon. It can just be very simple. I'm going to give you a simple idea. Then you write, A stands for application. How do I apply this to my life? And then P is a prayer. Lord, help me. I see the truth here. So let me give you just an example. I did this last week. I did this from the reading that we had in Project 345 last week. And the scripture, I'll just read it to you, is in Acts, the 22nd chapter. So in the journal, I might write this. Now, sometimes if the scripture is long, I will not write it out longhand. I just make the reference. Acts 22, 6 through 8. Now it happened as I journeyed. This is Paul. He's talking. Paul is recounting his conversion. He said, it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon. Suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. Now, that was my verse. Now, here's my observation on that. Jesus, when he spoke to Saul, asking why Saul was persecuting, he asked why Saul was persecuting him. Paul was doing a lot of damage to the church, to believers, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus took Saul's persecution personally. Another note, Jesus did not knock Saul to the ground. Saul fell, and Jesus did not hurt him. The glory of the light temporarily blinded Saul, who was healed in a few days. That's my observation. Say, Alan, that's not too profound. I know. It's my observation. I didn't say this is preaching material. I just said this is something that you can learn and look at scriptures. Now, here's my application. Y'all didn't seem to like that. Maybe you'll like this. No. Here's my application. Jesus identifies with me. When he says, I am part of his body, that I am a branch on the vine, he was not just saying. We are more connected to him than I've realized. So, of course, he's not looking to hurt me, but help me as I take part in building his church, his body. That's just an application. And then here's my prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we are truly connected. Teach me even more what it means to walk in you and abide in you. It's such a blessing to be connected so far up. Real simple, not real long, but if you'll do this, it can add a dimension to your Bible time that's really special. Now, it's been years since I've talked about this, but I have people who I talked about it years ago, they still do this. I still do a kind of a modified version of this. But the idea is, as I'm reading, sometimes things will just be highlighted to you. Now, I don't wait for just this huge revelation. I don't wait for that just to jump off the page. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, and there's like a choir and the lights light up and an angel. It's not that. I have an impression about a verse and I write it down. And it's an observation that's for me. One day I will take my journals and I hope to give them to my children and then my grandkids so they can kind of track my life. But just think about it. That gives a great legacy. I don't usually preach out of my journal material. That's, again, for me. But it's a personal time, and it helps you. Does that help anyone? So remember that? So if you... Listen, now here's the deal. Try it, but don't make it such that my grammar isn't good, I don't write too well, I don't put sentences... Listen, I'm horrible at grammar. That's why I have Wilma and a lot of people around me who, you know, I think commas are just like whatever. And so, don't worry about grammar. Don't worry about how it sounds. Don't worry about if you can read it to someone. You know, it's the same way it is with singing and making a joyful noise to the Lord. You say, well, I can't sing. Everybody can sing. Most should not record. Everybody can sing. You can sing. And it's of the heart. So just try that. But I tell you what it will do. It will bless you. And I can look back. I have journal after journal. And I can look back. And I can also tell what I was going through at the time. And then you've got a history of how God has helped you. And sometimes I just pick up the journal and read. And I'm always going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why? Because we have a tendency to forget. And so that just helps you remember. And it's a great way. And then you can branch off. So that is the soap journaling. Let me just talk for the last 15 minutes tonight. On this second, this was impressed upon me today as I was studying Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1. I'm going to read it again. It says, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. There is, and what I want to talk about tonight is some ways that we can stay on track so that we don't yield to a spiritual undertow. I'm very convinced of this. Is that I think a lot of people who have genuine relationships with the Lord, have genuine experiences with the Lord. I really believe most of us start off with great intentions. But if we're not aware that there's like an undertow, then it can pull you off track. I came to Christ when I was 19. I was selling books for Southwestern Book Sales. I was door-to-door sales rep. I was in college. I came to the Lord, had a very genuine experience where Jesus became my Lord. I was baptized with the Spirit. I was on fire for God, sort of. And I say that because it seemed like I had to hitchhike to work, which was about 7 miles away. And so I would hitchhike in the morning, I'd hitchhike at night. I was always amazed. It seemed like the enemy and the Lord were constantly competing about who was going to pick me up. I would have families see me on the side of the road, turn around, come back and pick me up, Christian families. We just felt impressed to come back and get you. We have wonderful fellowship. I have party guys pull over, pick me up, say, hey, reach in the glove box, man, roll us a joint. I'm like, no, I'm not real good at rolling joints. Guy said, not a problem, I can roll it one-handed, and he did. And we smoked it because I didn't have the strength at that time to go no. And so I had constant. Now here's what happened. Genuine experience with the Lord, bona fide, but there is an undertow that pulls. And if you don't recognize, you know what an undertow is, right? You can't see it, but it's there.
Yes.
And you get in it, and you especially get in a bad one, and man, it's a struggle. We have to understand there's an undertow. So when I went back to college, I fell away from God. It wasn't automatic. It was gradual. Why? Three key reasons. I did not have a home church. I didn't go to church at all. Did not have a home church. You know one of the reasons I'm such a stickler on church? It's because I recognized when I didn't have it in my life what a difference it made.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You say, well, Alan, you know, sometimes your sermons are good, sometimes they're not so good. Okay, but I'm here,
yes.
And I'm a consistent voice to remind you that God is good and He's real and serving Him is worthwhile.
Amen.
And so, and we have worship, and that's consistent. And so the idea is, you know that on Sundays and Wednesdays, You're going to come in, and we're not going to talk about hygiene or social issues. We're going to talk about living for God. Amen. And making a difference for God. So whether you like the sermon or not, if God's put me in your life as a pastor, there's value in that.
Yes.
Thank you for two amens. I got you right there in the back. Thank you very much. Didn't have a church home. I didn't have any devotional time. So I wasn't reading my Bible. And you say, oh, now we're getting it. Now we see why you're so big on church. Now we see why you're so big on reading your Bible. Yes. Yes, you are. Because I didn't have it. And I didn't have it, and I didn't have devotional time. Remember I said there's a spiritual undertow. You can overcome it, but you need to be stronger than it. And so it was a scenario where I didn't have a church home, and I had no good Christian influences in my life. Everybody needs some Christian friends. Everybody does need some Christian friends. You need some people that are going to at least point you in God's direction. If you're a believer, you're going through a tough time, you need somebody to go, man, we can pray. Man, I'll pray with you. I'll believe for you. Not someone that goes, man, forget that God stuff. Let's go get drunk. Forget it. And I had those kind of friends. When I came back, I had those friends. They were pulling on me. This is why, I have such a heart for people who turn away from God. And I don't think they mean to. They don't wake up one day and go, nah, just forget this. It is gradual. It's like the undertow, and it's pulling you in. And so I've become a real key. That's why he said we ought to pay the more careful attention to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. If there's a flow there, we have to recognize. Now, here's the thing, guys. Don't think you're above that. You could be doing great for years, and then you just all of a sudden get this wild hair that you're going to stay out of church, not read your Bible, not hang out with any Christians, and you might not be in a place you want to be. We'll come find you, and we're looking at you going, man, what in the world happened to you? You got sucked in. You don't have to. And this is why the admonishment is there. And this is why I'm a big one. This is why you hear me say to people all the time, hey, listen, if you know somebody and they used to go to church, they're out of church, completely out of church, go get them. Go find them. Go tell them, hey, come on back in. Now, a lot of times they feel guilty. They're like, everyone in that church is going to know what I'm doing. No, ain't nobody thinking about you. Isn't that true? Most of the time we're like, I saw how they looked at me. No, come on, seriously. Everyone's not condemning you. People I don't want to come to church. So just tell them, no. No one's condemning you. I want you to come on back. Come on back. Bring them back in. And when they get back in, they get in God's presence. You know what he'll do? He'll love on them. And he won't beat them. And they'll go, I need to be back here. I have people just come to me out of the blue. I'm in Walmart. They're like, I need to come back to church. I'm like, well, come back. You know, it's not, they just look at me. They go, I just need to come back to church. I'm like, sure you do. Come back. Why? Because there's an undertow, guys. And don't underestimate it. Because this is why we need one another. Paul said this. So actually, John said this. In 1 John, he said, look, he said, we're dealing with this. He said, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He said, there's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Real quick. That's your passions, your possessions, and your position. The things that pull on us. Maybe it's a passion, just a passion that's out of whack. Maybe it's possessions that drive your life. Maybe it's position, how you are positioned. Everyone is subject to this. So maybe your problem is not someone else's problem. That's why the Bible said don't judge. Because you're looking at them going, well, I don't have a problem with that. And they're looking at you going, well, I don't have a problem with that. So here's the deal. Nobody gets to judge. Everybody has to be aware. Pay the more careful attention to things we've heard, less than any time that we let them slip. So we have to understand the undertow, understand where it is, that we've got things pulling against us. I'm not even going to have time to go into Ephesians 6, where Paul says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against hosts of wickedness and spiritual. But there are spiritual forces too. So you've got the world's forces and spiritual forces. If you're thinking, there's no way I'm going to make it, there's all these forces arrayed against me. No, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You already have an advantage on the inside. So don't start thinking that you're at the disadvantage and things are going to be hard for you and you can't make it. What you need to realize is I've got more going for me. We talked about it Sunday. There's more to me than meets the eye. There's more to going on in my life, but I have to be aware. I don't know if I have any soldiers. Do I have any soldiers? Anyone who served in a war zone, a hot zone? Anybody? How many of you know you got to be aware? True? If you're a soldier, you just don't walk out there going, it's a lovely day in Afghanistan. No, it's not. And if you're in Afghanistan, you're super aware of what's going on around you. True? In fact, a lot of times when we have some special forces operators, man, when they come back here, they're still, after a while, they're just a little jumpy. They're like, you know, someone could pull a vehicle up in front of the church, and like we're like, whoa, this is Conroe. But they're aware. Yes. What Paul's saying is for us as believers, let's don't go through life acting like we're not in heaven yet. And there are spiritual forces against us. And there's a negativity in the world. Thank God, Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And we're in him. So we're on the winning side, but we're still aware. You might be carrying a big gun, but you're still aware. You still have to be alert out there. And so he talked about some things, and I have 5 minutes. You ready to roll? Let's roll. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Paul's writing to Timothy, and this is what he said. Reject profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself toward godliness, living for God. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it's saying that living a Christian life, living for God, is likened to exercise. It's likened to physical exercise. Now, physical exercise is a comparison. How many know most physical exercise is not typically comfortable? If you are super comfortable, you're probably not exercising. You ought to watch Joy in the YMCA. I've never seen anyone have a better time exercising than Joy. It's like, that's unbelievable. You don't even break a sweat. That is not exercising. Exercise is not typically comfortable. Exercise involves the principle of resistance. If there's no resistance, if you're lying in bed, breathing through your nose, you're not exercising. You're breathing through, and cheat lifts do not count. How many of you know walking involves more resistance even than just sitting? So people say, exercise. And if you walk with weights, that's more resistance. So it works with resistance. There's a resistance involved. Here's the third thing about exercise. Exercise does have tangible benefits. I thought I'd get a few more amens out of that, but evidently, they tell me it does, Alan. I just don't know. Yeah, it has tangible benefits. It will benefit you. Now, Paul is likening exercise to living for God. Now, here's what you have to understand. Living for God is not always comfortable. Where'd you go? It is not always comfortable. The phrase, crucify your flesh, is not something we all get excited about. I've never done a series on crucify your flesh because I don't think anybody would come. So I have to slip it in on you like I did tonight. See, I just worked it right in. Crucify your flesh means you're going to have to say no to some of the temptations and desires that are in your life. And that's not always comfortable. Yeah. Helen, that's really good. Yeah, I know. I'm just doing the best. Living for God, it involves resistance. Paul said, I discipline my body and keep it under subjection. So the idea of living for God is, obviously, the challenge is we're not just doing anything we want to. Is we're telling ourselves no. I've told people this. When I married Joy, I became a one-woman man. Which means I said no to everybody else and yes to her. It's real simple. And with her Italian heritage and background, it's safe for me. She's got people that know people that break kneecaps. But no, it's an easy, It's an easy thing to say no. So it involves resistance. But here's the deal. Living for God has tangible benefits in this life and the next.
Amen.
This life, there are benefits to living for God in this life. Huge, huge benefits. And I don't have time to recount them all. But not just this life, guys. There's going to be an eternity. And the Bible says that what we do here, it has an effect in eternity. And we have one life to live for God. And so I know sometimes you're thinking, this is hard, and it was a lot more fun sometimes when I was in the world. You want to start to catch that thinking and say, yeah, but it's more profitable to be doing what I'm doing. Yeah, it might not be the easiest way of life, but it's the most fulfilling way of life. And so there's a mentality there. I'm sorry I'm not going to have a chance to get to the rest of it. But I really just had it on my heart, especially for people who struggle with the Christian life. They're like, I'm struggling with it, and it's hard, and there's things. It's like you want to take a different mentality and go, yeah, yeah. Exercise yourself. It has some resistance, but if you'll do that, I promise you, you're going to come. And I don't have to promise you. The Scriptures promise you. It will benefit you in this life, and it will benefit you in the next life. When you stand before the Lord, I would much rather have Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not look at Him and go, Lord, it was hard. And have Him go, yeah. And the people had it a lot harder. So let's don't make a big deal over that. I believe we have what it takes to do this. I believe we can live for God. I believe it would be unfair if God asked us to live for Him and not equip us to live for Him. And so we have all the equipment that we need. We need that mindset that says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stay connected. I'm going to stay hooked up. I'm going to stay connected with God and His people and His church. And I'm going to read, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to continue to push in. And my life is going to get better and better and better. And that's the way it goes with God. Glory to glory. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for Your grace, and we're thankful for Your mercy, and we're thankful for Your blessings, Father, and You cause Your face to shine on us. Thank You, Lord. I thank You for everyone here who's ever made a commitment to You and is endeavoring to live that out. Father, thank You. You see them, You know them, You love them, and You're pulling for them and equip them to do everything that You've called them to do. Father, thank You that You would strengthen us and establish us, and the work that You've begun in us, You'll complete till the day of Jesus Christ. And we thank You for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I'm not living for God. I know that. He knows that. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Or maybe you're like I was. Maybe you have at one time and you drifted way away. The pull got to you and you drifted way away. Tonight this rung your bell and you're like, He's talking to me. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to make it right. You're not going to have to come to the front. You're not going to have to stand up. But we are going to pray together. If that's you and you want in on these prayers, would you just have the courage to slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Hands have gone up all over. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Yeah, way in the back. I got you. Anybody else? Great. Thanks. All right, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd lifted my hand. This prayer is the key thing. You want to jump in here. We're going to pray it out loud. We're going to pray it together. This is your time. This is time to change eternity. So we're going to pray this together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. Thank You for those who have stepped out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Thank You, Father. What a wonderful time we'll have in the ages to come, rejoicing that decisions were made tonight that changed everything. We give You all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.